We ran out of paper or something, so I used a plate. always professional. So I wrote this message tonight specifically for the boys aged between like 11 to 22. So if any of you want to move up to these empty rows so I can stare deeply into your eyes, feel free. None of them are going to take it, huh? There's a couple. There we go. All right. Starting in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there is not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist." Let's pray. Dear great, glorious God, we thank you for the freedoms that we have. This is the time of year when freedom's on everybody's mind. It's the big thing out there, Lord. But the true freedom's here. The true freedom's with you, and we have it. We have it every day. And I want to thank you for that freedom. The fact that no matter what's going on politically, no matter what wars, what laws are passed, anything like that, we are free to worship you. We are free to pray to you. We are free to serve you. I thank you for that, Lord. I pray for this message and that you bless it and lead me on the right path and that I'm able to encourage people and do good by you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this is something I know goes through a lot of boys' minds. And that's why this is specifically for the boys. It may go through some girls' minds too. I grew up a boy, sorry, I just don't know what you guys think, so I'm over here. But I know we go through things as we're growing up where, you start looking at what are you going to become as you get older? What are you able to become as you get older? And we get all kinds of crazy ideas, going to be an astronaut, going to be president, going to be a war hero, just all kinds of different things. And as we get older, life tends to beat that down and take a lot of that away from you. And you see it a lot, especially out there in the world, 40-year-old guys living, I think it might have been Nolan who was talking about it earlier today, someone was, but living, in the past, always living in that moment. Man, that game in high school, I tell you guys, man, I got those three touchdowns and, they're always there because they never went out and did anything great. And a lot of that's by design. Satan has made this world, or turned things in this world in a way to tear out everything from men. So you are weaker. So you feel you can't become those great things that you wanted to be. And our society is doing it really bad right now, and you boys are growing up in a really crazy time compared to what I grew up in or what Justin grew up in or Super Dave, where boys aren't even boys anymore, Boys are girls, boys are zers, boys are zzzzzz, whatever kind of things they come up with. Like, it's a mess out there. I've learned, though, through my journey so far in life, which is still a young journey, I guess. It feels old. My back tells me it's old. But that you can be great. You can do amazing things. Part of it is we look around and we look at other people that are doing great things and we compare ourselves to them. I know me and some of my friends growing up, we did that a lot. We would compare ourselves to Luke. Hey, we were kids, and we were comparing ourselves to Luke and going, well, we can't be great like him. We can't reach that level, Look at the life he had. He grew up perfect, We'll never attain any of that. One, that's a broken mindset. And it's a broken mindset from society. Even though growing up around the church and everything and having some of the good examples, that stuff creeps in. And it's wrong. You know, Luke didn't grow up perfect. Luke had issues just like all the rest of us had. You know, yeah, he had a great dad. Yeah, he had a great mom. Yeah, he grew up around the church. So there were some things there, but his dad was gone a lot. Jay was a busy man doing some incredible things all over the place. So the mom had to be very active quite a bit. You know, and there was other things that's probably happened in his life that I don't know. But it took work for him to be as awesome as he was. You know, it didn't just happen. We look at these guys in the Bible, you know, and we go, how can I live up to that standard? How can I get to there? How can I grow up to be that man, you know? I don't have those abilities. I don't have that life. I don't have those blessings. The socialist mindset out there will tell you a lot, oh, those people are rich because they were given a handout or a hand up. You know, you can't make it, thus why try socialism. Again, wrong mindset, broken mindset. People have to work for things. They have to build up for things. It takes effort to become great. You know, Nikki's not here, but Justin is. Justin's run some many, many long miles in his life. You know, you've done a full-on trifecta, haven't you?
Ultra.
Ultra? Okay, so you didn't do that out of the gate, right? Day one? No, you had to build up to it. He had to suffer. And I'm sure you might have had some injuries along the way, days where things hurt. Like, it doesn't just happen. You have to build up to the greatness. So I want to look at some of these great men in the Bible and give you a perspective of, you know, where they really were, where they really came from, and how they got to being great. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 5. So this is, again, going over John the Baptist, John the Immerser, as we like to call him. Greatest man ever born of woman. So anyone you can think of nowadays, you know, your most favorite sports player, your most favorite artist, writer, you know, actor, whatever. He was the greatest ever born of women. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. So what do we learn from reading this? Well, in verse 6, we can see they were both righteous in the sight of God and walked blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. They were pretty awesome people, okay? I believe most of you are blessed with pretty awesome parents. Like, our church has grown huge since I was young, and we've got awesome families in here, and I appreciate that. There's a lot of people, though, who don't have that. So, okay, you know, John the Baptist said a little bit ahead of other people because of that. So, you know, people could use that as an argument. But his dad was a priest. So what does that mean? Well, he was broke. So they were poor, you know, not living the greatest life. Probably busy all the time, dealing with other people's problems, helping other people, you know, all the things that the priests do. And they were both advanced in years. They were old. Too old for kids, you know. God blessed him, though. So as, you know, John was growing up, you think he got to wrestle with his dad a lot? Got to play ball, you know, do all the things? No, dad was probably tired. You know, it's hard being a priest. It's hard taking care of other people and then coming home, taking care of your family on top of that and being advanced in age. So right there, we see some things where some people be like, oh, you know, can't be like John. He's got these perfect parents. There were some things. But they walked righteously with God, and they taught him how to walk righteously with God. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Verse We'll start in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel?" Saul wasn't a very good king, did a lot of stuff that wasn't right. "Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons." Man, if God's selecting one of this kid's got to be amazing, right? Like telling you, hey, go travel, go find this kid. Like, he's going to be superb. But Samuel said, "How can I go? When Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' You shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, "Do you come in peace?" He said, "In peace, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." He also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Sorry. When they entered, he looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed one is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." See, immediately, Samuel, seeing one of these kids, and it's a specimen. He's like, "Yeah, that's our next king right there." God's like, "Samuel, dude, what are you doing? That's not him. Look at his heart. I've already rejected this guy." So then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Saul. And he said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Like, another one. He's tall. He's strong. Like, so next, Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Thus Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord hasn't chosen any of these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all the children?" See, even Jesse, the father in this scenario, didn't even bring all the kids out, because he's like, "Well, it can't be this last one. Like, it's got to be one of the specimens." And Samuel said to Jesse, I lost my spot. Okay, yeah, 11. And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all the children?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and behold, he is tending the sheep." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." So we'll fast forward a little bit, and we find out that David is the chosen one, a man after God's own heart. A kid that was reflecting him. And what were some of the things David went and did? You know, shepherd boy, fighting off lions, fighting off bears, killing them as a kid. I'm not sure off the top of my head what age he was, if it says what age he was, but could you imagine one of you guys doing that? Any of you guys want to fight a bear or a lion? Yeah? Yeah. Dylan would. Man after God's own heart. A young age, set up to be great. No. Not the specimen, not the strongest, not the fastest. It was the young one, the one out in the field that the dad didn't even think about. Grew up great because of his heart, because of his mindset. Sorry, walk with me here. Okay. So we see in the next chapter, you know, the Philistines, Israelites, they're at war. They're always at war. And Philistines, they bring a secret weapon this time. They bring a great man. They bring Goliath, this giant of a man, fully armored, got a shield, you know, bigger than any of the Israelites, spear bigger than any of them. He's challenging them, mocking them. Whole army just staring at him, quivering in their boots. You know, not great men. Even though all the Israelites probably looked at him like, yeah, these are our warriors. These are the men. They weren't men that day. They were weak. They forgot about God. They lost their faith. Their mindset wasn't there. Again, this kid shows up. He's basically like, what are you guys doing? Why aren't you doing anything about this? I'll do it. Oh, they throw some armor on him, and it's too big. Takes it off. What's he do? Was out with there just slinging some stones and faith in God. Belief in God that he can be great and he can do what was needed. Kills the giant. Cuts off his head. They chase the Philistines out. Amazing. Not one of his bigger brothers. Not the specimens. A kid who believed. A kid who cared, loved, and wanted to follow God no matter what. Let's go back to Acts chapter 4. So I want to give you a couple real-world examples. So the kids from my generation, even though we grew up in the church, you know, we grew up in broken homes, you know. Most of us had parents who weren't here. We had parents that were divorced, you know, all kinds of problems. So we had that bad mindset, as I said. Like, I remember having conversations where, well, we can't be like Luke, you know. We can't do what's good. I learned over time, though, that that was wrong. When Mikkel and his family first moved here, they moved here to... I don't know why they moved here, but I remember they moved here and they started a business right away, and we got to work with, all us kids got to work with them a ton on the business and stuff. The Donahues were great at always making sure kids chipped in and hung out and everything. And I saw from being around them a lot, because Chantel and Bud, they were awesome, and they were those kind of kids where, sorry, I'm talking about you, Mikkel. I should have asked her if he could be my example tonight. But they were really good kids. You know, and they were the kind that people were like, hey, you know, like, you should be like them. Like, they're awesome. And spending that time with them when I was young, you know, I saw, like, there was nothing different, you know. They weren't better than the rest of us, like, because they're rich or, you know, their family, like, had them on a fast track or anything like that. They had parents who loved them and put effort into them and made sure they did things, you know, like chores, things like that, but they were active in them. And so that stuff weighed heavily on me because I saw that and I was like, wow, okay. Later on in years, you know, me and Mikkel, we were friends for a long time through there, and he lived in the back of the furniture place. I'd come stay the night with him and stuff. I was telling you about that over the weekend. But he ended up starting his own business, and I got to watch that process, you know. Again, he wasn't given a business. He started a business, and he had to learn it from the ground up. And I was blessed enough that he hired me pretty much at the beginning, and we were just painting. It was a painting company, but he had opportunity to do other things. And Bud's mindset wasn't like, oh, well, I can't build this. I can't do that. You know, like, I'm not a builder. No, his mindset was, yeah, let's figure it out. I remember, I don't know if you remember this, Mikkel, we went to Barnes & Noble one day because you had to bid a job for something you never bid before. So we bought some books on how to bid that, you know. Didn't have the smartphone, so we had to do it old school, and he bid, you know. He built something, and, like, that sunk in with me. Like, I was like, man, like, he can do it. I can do it. You know, I'm not taking anything away from him by making that statement. What I'm saying is, he can do it. I can do it. Like, follow the example. That's awesome. Well, John the Baptist, greatest man ever born of women, of a woman, came from a life that was no better, no more amazing than ours. Is actually way better than his. We got running water and indoor toilets and things like that. Like, we're way richer than he ever was. He did it. You can do it too. With seeing that from Mikkel, you know, so I'm the poster child for someone who shouldn't make it. Like, again, the socialist mindset of you've got those who have and the have-nots. I was the have-not. I was blessed to be in this church because my Uncle Alvin and my grandma were here and they made sure I came to the school. My parents were no good, though, okay? My dad was a drug dealer. Our house had been raided multiple times. I was physically abused in many different ways throughout my whole younger childhood. I started doing narcotics and stuff at about 10 years old. My parents left me at 11. You know, I am the poster child for someone who shouldn't make it, by all accounts, according to the world. I should have everything to sit back and go, you know what? It's society's fault. You know, gimme, gimme, gimme. But being around great examples and around this, and like, again, seeing Mikkel, someone my age, doing something, when I finally decided to turn my life around, he was one of the people I clung to, which is why I got to go start working with him, I realized I could do more. And so I started pushing myself, started trying, started getting active. Through that, I was able, later on in life, start my first business, which led into multiple other businesses. And I'm not saying this to, like, puff myself up here. I'm just wanting you guys to see a picture, okay? I've been able to speak on stages all over the country. I've had businesses in China, Great Britain, Germany, Canada, here, like, done so many things. And I'm an idiot, guys. Like, I'm not educated. I barely finished school. But was able to do it. And one of the really great things, and this is why I go to Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, idiots, right? They were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Peter and John were not the specimen. They were not that example of like, wow, these are incredible men. These are the smart guys. These are, you know, the ones who should be there. But they were able to show themselves as being that because they followed a mentor. They followed Jesus. They learned from him. They took that. They replicated it. They believed. They put faith. They were involved. It didn't matter what their background was. God saw their hearts. Jesus saw their hearts, chose them. They followed him, put in the work, and they were able to stand there with the leaders and go toe-to-toe in a way that made them go, wow, these guys have learned. These guys have practiced with the one that was giving us so much trouble earlier. Nothing can hold you back. You guys can become doctors, you can become presidents, you can do whatever you want business-wise, okay? That's not what this message is about, but I'm letting you know. You can do whatever you want in life. Nothing is unobtainable for you, okay? But the most important thing is, you can be greater than John the Baptist, John the Immerser. Let's go to Mark 10, 13 through 16. Oh, sorry, I wanted to go back to Matthew 11:11 there. Apologize. So recapping, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Okay. John the Immerser paved the way for Jesus to come. He was the one laying the groundwork before Jesus started his mission. He got to go face to face with the king at that time. No. Who great, great man. The least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. Okay? When you guys grow up and you make that decision and you get immersed and you put the old man to death and you receive the Holy Spirit, instantly you're greater than him. You are a light on a hilltop shining through the darkness. You are greater than him. You can be great in this world, especially you guys. You're educated, you know, you've been taught to think, have that Christian schooling. You guys have been taught to work. I've put many of you to work on projects. I know John Moransic has too. I'm sure Mikkel and others have. You guys work. You're already so ahead. You guys can be successful. But you guys can be successful spiritually in a way that John the Baptist, you know, that David, you go back through the Old Testament, you see David begged for it, cried for it, wanted it so bad. You guys have the opportunity to have that in the future. Every one of the men in here are greater than John the Baptist right now. And day by day, they're getting greater still. Now we'll go to Mark 10, 13 through 16. And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit that the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." Satan wants you guys. Okay. You read any of the communist stuff, me and my boys, we just got done doing a 6-week constitution class with Rex, and they go through a lot of the communism and socialist stuff and how one of the big things behind that is doing a public school. And the reason for that is they want you guys. They want your minds. They want to keep you from thinking that you can be great. They want to keep you from thinking at all. And direct you in a certain way. And truthfully, when you start looking into conspiracies, things like that, you realize there's a spiritual conspiracy behind it. There's a Satan behind it. He wants the public school. He wants you guys. Because if he can get you when you're young, like me, I'm old. I'm slowing down. There's only so much I can do. You know, Jay Wilson, he's in the twilight. You know, he's almost at the end of the race. Yes, Satan wants him. Satan wants to knock him down and win him over. But if he can get you guys, how many lives does he affect from there on out? That's why it's so great that you guys are in the Christian school, your homeschool, you guys are part of the church, you're in the youth group, things like that, that you're active in this now and building yourselves up to protect yourselves. Jesus saw how important you guys are. Children, especially younger, I know you guys remember playing pretend and stuff. You know, your friends like, "Hey, imagine there's a waterfall there." And you probably saw a waterfall. You're like, "Yeah, there's a waterfall. Okay." We lose that as we get older. We lose that belief. You guys have that mindset. And if you cultivate that towards Christ now, build that up, the men that you will become when you receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, you guys will do light years beyond what any of us were able to do. You guys are set up for success if you take it, if you go towards it. How do you do it? Well, again, we saw with Peter and John, they were recognized as having been with Jesus. You guys spend time with Mikkel and Nolan through youth group, you know. You guys spend time with other men there, here. You guys have been spending time with me. Learn from us. Learn from our mistakes. Learn from our successes. I can tell you that's one of the big things. You know, as my kids were growing up, I realized my past and I'm like, wow, I don't want my kids to go through things that I went through and I don't want to lose my kids. And I'm not talking here, I'm talking there. I don't want to lose their souls. Started reaching out to Luke, started reaching out to Jeff Hostetter, another name that just left my mind, and started going with them. Like, what did you guys do? Why are your kids so powerful in the Lord? Started implementing what they told me. I have good kids. I love my kids. They care about Jesus way more than I did at their age. Look at these men. Find the ones that have the success that you want. And again, yes, world says, hey, it's okay to have a good job. It's okay to make money. It's okay to have some security. But look for that spiritual success. Who has the good marriage? Who is the good dad that you want to replicate someday? Follow them as they follow Christ, as you follow Christ and become that light. Amen?